the winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guest, heard on Voice of Barbados. You can call us at 441790. You can send a WhatsApp to 253-4679 or an email to cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guest is brought in association with the good friends at ASFE White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASFE White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da, pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, now first of all, congratulations to the Guyana Harpy Eagles for winning again. They came into the competition as defending champions, and a bit of a wait with the Barbados Academy game, Barbados losing. And then we had a situation where the game between the Leewards and the Windwards affected by rain. And in the end, from near and from far, we want to congratulate them on their wonderful performance. You know, you're beginning to wonder what would have happened after Leon Johnson left the scene, a brilliant captain. But Tevin Imlach did a wonderful job. In fact, he's already with us on Zoom, and we're going to be talking to him pretty soon. Vernon Springer, the noted journalist, is going to do a complete assessment of it. And we also want to get some reaction from across the Caribbean. Also as well, let's go to Pakistan. Hayley Matthews. Hail Hayley Matthews. What a performance from her. In fact, today, another 100. She's had 200s in the competition. And she's going from strength to strength, and we want to congratulate her. I tried to reach out to her, but she obviously can't come at this time. It's around about 3:30 in the morning, but we're going to try to possibly get that interview recorded maybe for next week. She was quite willing to do that. So not to worry. We'll certainly be looking at that in terms of getting that interview with Hayley Matthews. We really want to thank her for her wonderful performances. And the girls look good. They look fit, a lot fitter. I note with interest. And I thought that second game that they played after Matthews got for 44, I thought Campbell batted very well. And Stephanie Taylor. And in the end, we were able to get home off the very last ball. So the women are making us very proud indeed. Well, we've got some gentlemen already on the line. I know they're very, very, very busy men. The captain of the Guyana Harpy Eagles is with us. And we've also gone to St. Kitts and Nevis, one of my favorite places, to find the top scorer in the regional competition, Michael Louis. In fact, I remember back in 2019 when I went to cover the cricket there, we were streaming. I had a chance to actually visit his house. His dad is Dominican, and they got a good old Dominican dinner. And I saw that little guy there in the corner, and I remember him saying he would love to play for the West Indies someday. And on the evidence of what we've seen, it's going to be very difficult, in my view, not to take the young man to England. But of course, that's all conjecture. What's reality is that he's with us. By the way, we've also got a gentleman who actually made 400. Can you imagine that? 400 and not out in a match, and I found him, and he's going to be talking to us a bit later on. But without any further ado, let me say hello to Tevin. How are you, Tevin? How is good old Guyana? Unmute. We want to hear you.
My bad. Pleasant good evening to all the viewers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very rainy in Guyana at the moment.
Oh,
we came back and it seemed as though we were by the rain.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, it didn't rain in your parade. You certainly went on to win. Tell us, Tevin, what do you think is responsible for the success of Guyana in terms of winning the championship this year? Tell us.
Just the team effort. We had different players stand up at different times, which is very important. You never want to rely on one or two players. And, you know, we have a lot of depth in our batting, and we have three, you know, very good spinners, you know, three players that would have played, three spinners that would have played for West Indies already. Mm-hmm. Three quality spinners in Gurukesh Moorthy, Virasain Kumar, and Kevin Sinclair. That obviously our bowling lineup is built around. So I think it just the team effort and everybody coming together at different times, you know, to make it work.
Mm-hmm. And the experience of captaining the side, how did that go for you?
It was challenging, you know, big shoes to fill with Leon Johnson obviously leaving, but it was good. Challenging, you know, it is much different when you play with these guys and when you're in a leadership position, because obviously, you know, you have to, you're the one making the calls that they might not necessarily always like, because these players want the ball in their hands at all times. They want to make a difference. So, you know, sometimes it's difficult, you know, but it was challenging, but good nevertheless. Good learning experience. I'm learning about them and they're learning about me as well.
Mm-hmm, indeed. All right. And of course, you had the experience of going to Australia. How was that experience, Tevin? I'll be happy to hear in terms of the experience going to Australia. How was that?
Yeah. It was very good. It was different to what we're accustomed to in the Caribbean. You know, the pitches are a lot more bouncier. The ball tends to seem around a bit more. So it was definitely good. I didn't manage to play any game, but, you know, I spent some time in the nets and it was good. You know, the experience itself, just learning to come up with different ways to, you know, approach my game. And technically, I might need to change some things in order to make runs in those conditions. So it was fruitful. I learned a lot, and, you know, a lot that I took into, you know, playing cricket this season.
Mm-hmm, I see. Well, who are your horses? I know that Dr. Ford and Philo Wallace, my co-host, will have questions for you. But just before we go to the doc and to Philo, let me introduce the man who made the most runs in the competition. I mean, this is a absolutely tremendous, Michael Louis. Hello, Mr. Louis. How is good old St. Kitts and Nevis? Sugar City, how is it?
Hello, Mr. Mason. Good evening. Mm-hmm. Good evening to all the viewers. Mm-hmm. Things are okay in St. Kitts, a little quiet. There's currently a local T20 match being played, so I'm here at the ground watching.
Well, how come you're not involved? You weren't selected?
No, I'm just taking a few days off to rest my hand.
Yeah, rest your hand. And you really deserve the rest. Tell us about this tremendous performance. I mean, three centuries. I mean, I know that Vernon Springer's got the stats. And in fact, the last time he was on the show, he actually said, look, this young man is doing so well. We got, and Vernon Springer has got you and his team to England. I've certainly got you as well. Tell us about this performance, making so many runs in the regional competition. What was responsible for the success in your view?
Well, on the field, I feel like my main strength was my patience. Mm-hmm. You know, I haven't played first-class cricket before, so I really wanted to come into this tournament and, you know, create a legacy for myself and have an impact on the tournament. So I was just happy and lucky enough to be able to contribute to my team's successes and, you know, be able to deliver for my team.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and you really certainly did deliver. What about the batting conditions generally? Were you happy you would have had an opportunity to play in the countries around the Caribbean? How were those batting conditions?
Well, honestly, everything about the tournament was a pleasure for me. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it. I enjoy living the cricketer's lifestyle, you know, being able to travel to different countries and play cricket. So I really can't complain about anything that transpired during the tournament. I was just happy to be a part of it, you know, happy to play. And I really can't complain about anything. The pitches, obviously, the varying pitches they had different challenges. But the senior players in the team, they communicate well. And I was able to adapt and, you know, play well on the various pitches.
Mm-hmm. I see. And just before I go to Dr. Ford and Philo Wallace, final question for the time being. Playing with your brother, how was that experience playing with your brother, Jeremiah?
Well, we've played together from tender ages. You know, this is something that we always do. Mm-hmm. It's a great feeling. You know, in the first game against the West Indies Academy, mm-hmm. I was feeling really nervous a bit and you know, he really come to me. I had a conversation and tell me, like, you know, you've been playing cricket all your life. You know, nothing new. You don't need to change anything. It's just, so it's really good to have him in the team. You know, it's a little settling, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great feeling having him around.
Mm-hmm, indeed. Dr. Ford.
Hi, good night to you, Andrew, and the other members of the panel, and to the listeners. It's good to have two young men that have performed so well in our recent four-day tournament. Mr. Louis, only 23, and he faced almost 1,400 balls, and, you know, three centuries, 450, 682 runs, average of 48, and also young Imlat, only playing five matches, but scoring two centuries and 350s, 485 runs, and averaging 53. So really, a really good performance. I want to congratulate both of them. And I'll ask Mr. Louis the first question. What is the difference between you this year compared to last year and the year before?
That's a really good question.
I mean in your cricket, your approach to cricket. Last year versus this year.
Well, I would like the main skill I really worked on and that I developed over the past few months would have been my patience and allowing good balls outside the off stump to pass and go to the keeper. That's something I had to develop and really work on.
In the West Indies, where we kind of pride ourselves in being attacking and with white ball cricket being such a big part of our recent culture, how difficult was that, you know, to, you know, people saying, well, you should hit the ball and you should be more aggressive. How have you been able to maintain that patience with all the pressures that have been around you?
Well, the thing is, growing up, I was always known as a hard-hitting batsman. You know, I was always someone who, you know, who cleared the infield and really challenged the boundary fielders. So it wasn't really much of a challenge. It was more challenging letting it go, you know? Being patient wasn't really my strength. So it's something I really pride myself in now and something I really aim to do while I'm batting.
And for Imlat, you know, I something I said on the show is that we really need quality batsmen that can we keep. So I'm really impressed by what you've done this season. What would you attribute your success to this year?
Just sticking to my method and my plan. Last year was a bit of a struggle. You know, I tried some different things that didn't necessarily work out. This year, I try to focus more on staying consistent and whether the plan or the method worked or not, just sticking to it as long as possible. And, you know, prove that, you know, once you can stay consistent and do stick to those methods as long as possible, then you know where you will get that success. But it's just being able to be patient and, you know, trust the process.
Well, I know that as a player, everyone that meets you as you traverse your country will have some advice for you, and then they're the coaches. There's so many individuals wanting to tell you what to do. How difficult is that for a young player who's on the fringes of test selection and having all this information and wanting to do well? How does a guy like you determine what's best to do and who to listen to?
I'm a strong believer that advice could come from anywhere. So I try to listen to everyone, and you know, you pull bits. Not everything they say you take it as, you know, the gospel, but you know, you pull little bits, things that make sense to you and you think you could apply to your game, then you work on those things. But I'm at a stage right now where, you know, I'm learning more about myself and what works for me. So it's just about understanding what works for you and sticking to that. And if something aligns with what, you know, you believe in and what's working for you, then, you know, you take those steps.
Okay, Philo.
Philo.
Thanks, Dr. Ford. Good evening, Andrew. Good evening to the guests. Good evening, my friend Hart, Boogie Burke, and Evan. It's good to have obviously two champions in different categories on the program, Andrew. Young Imlat, I want to say congratulations to you for continuing Guyana's dominance in the four-day competition. I thought you started a little lazy, and then obviously you pick up momentum, and that has to do with team dynamics. And obviously you as a captain you have your own style of how you wanted to lead and what you wanted your team to do. You lost one of your fast bowlers and you brought in the young fast. I want to know how that transition with him coming in, young Thorne coming in and partnering with Nylon Smith,
mm-hmm.
how that worked for you along with your three spinners, which is very crucial.
Yep.
And the surfaces that you played on, how you got them to maneuver and brought victories,
mm-hmm.
which is very important because we have captains who lead, but they don't win.
Mm-hmm.
And you obviously maneuver your bowlers in order to put your team in a position to win, and you eventually came out victorious and champions. Congratulations. That is for you. But for Mikhail, I spoke to your president only Sunday night, and I told him how impressed I was with you. I spoke to Vernon Springer as well some time ago as well,
mm-hmm.
about your successes and your consistency. My question for you is that the transition to opening batting, You're losing your coach, Stuart Williams, who was a former Leeward Island successful opener, West Indies opener, and you, with your consistency at the top of the innings,
mm-hmm.
how did Stuart help you and the players help you to be so consistent, and what was the key
mm-hmm.
to your success to get over 600 runs?
Good evening, Mr. Philo, and thanks for your kind words. The senior players and the coaching staff, mainly Mr. Williams and Will and Cornwall, they really played a significant role in my successes. And I would like to state that leading up to the tournament, you know, I really prepared myself, you know, in all dynamics, and Stuart and Mr. Williams and Kyron Powell, you know, Rakeem Cornwall, they really guided me in terms of helping me to understand my weaknesses and helping me to develop my strengths, you know, to help me to kind of stick to my plan. You know, Stuart Williams, he gave a lot of advice throughout the tournament, before the tournament, and I really would like to say hats off to him, you know, and I hope that whatever he does after he leaves the team, he may be successful and, you know, enjoy.
I think, Philo, you'd ask Tevin a question as well. Tevin?
Yeah, he asked about young Isaiah Thorne. I think he was brilliant for us. Finding, obviously losing runs were beaten early up. You know, it was a significant blow to us and our campaign. But you know, young Isaiah Thorne, you know, took up the mantle. For me, it was just about learning about his strength, what he did well, and trying to set fields and work with that. Also, we have Birasami Pumal in our team. He was very important in helping him as well. You know, he stands at mid-off a lot of times. And if you look at the games, you would see, you know, him speaking to the bowlers a lot. So I think he had a major role also with young Isaiah Thorne. But Isaiah Thorne grew from strength to strength throughout the tournament. You know, game after game, his control looked a lot better. His understanding of what his strength is as well, you know, also, you know, improved. So, you know, hats off to him. He had a pretty good tournament, and you know, it's going to be exciting to see what he does next year.
Mm-hmm. I know your time is limited, and I know that Mikel's time is limited as well. So I'm not going to keep you too much longer. But apart from young Thorne, any young cricketers that you saw that you were impressed with?
Yeah, I really like the look of obviously Mikel was excellent in the tournament. You know, I was very impressed to see, you know, someone coming in his first season and looking so solid and look so organized. That was brilliant to see. It's something that's really good to, you know, exciting for West Indies cricket, you know, moving forward to see, you know, young players like this coming in and have such a good understanding of the game. Young Tuckett. Was really good from the West Indies, the young keeper.
Mm.
I thought he was brilliant.
Carolyn Tuckett, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was really good as well. Joel Andrews,
mm-hmm.
you know, that young man, you know, showed a lot of, you know, heart and he's aggressive. You know, he understands his game and, you know, he was about it, you know, his way. So it was, you know, really refreshing to see, you know, young players coming in their fourth season and hitting the ground running.
I see. And finally, just before you go, what's next for you? Are you going to be playing any local cricket in Guyana?
There's a T10 tournament, but the weather is around, so I don't know how much of that will be played. But apart from that, I'm not really sure what's next.
And looking forward, of course, to going to England, if selected.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
All right. Yes. I want to thank you for coming through and talking to us. And enjoy the rest of Eden. Congratulations again. Your team richly deserving to win the regional tournament. Thank you very much indeed for that, Devin. All right. When we come back, we're going to wrap it up, of course, with Mikel as well. And we've got some other things to discuss. But let's pause for business calls. Mason and guests brought in association with our good friends at ASF White Rum, the best show of the day.
ASF White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da, pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, Vernon Springer, a man who covered a lot of the matches and has been on the show before. Good evening to you, Vernon. Nice to have you on the show. Your overall impressions of the regional tournament this year. Tell us, please.
And to yourself, Andrew. And just a congratulations to the Guyana national cricket team for winning the 7th regional four-day championship. New captain Tevin Imla, Kevin Anderson, would have started as the captain, so he would have to get some praise as well too, but Imla did it in his way and following in the footsteps of a Leon Johnson. That's really kind of remarkable. But we'll talk a little bit more about Guyana's success in terms of what I thought really contributed to the entire winning of the championship. But just before I go on and speak about Mikel Louis and Jeremiah Louis, I just want, Andrew, I'm sure that you would have learned, our colleague Richard Berridge, he would have lost his uncle, Adrian Lamb.
Oh, no.
One of the top musicians. I assure you, you didn't know that, Andrew?
No,
yeah.
No.
Adrian passed yesterday.
Okay. Well, I've got to send my sympathies to Richard. I didn't know that at all.
Yeah. So I just want to, on behalf of all of us here, and on behalf of the Leeward Islands Cricket Board and the cricket fraternity and the musical fraternity all over the world, to extend condolences to the family of, Adrian Lamb, which is Richard's mother, Sandra, father, Paddy, Richard himself there. In fact, his wife maybe just lost his grandmother a couple of months ago, so this will be a time for him basically to grieve. So on behalf of all of us, we just share with you, and we know this is a tough loss. It's a tough loss for St. Kitts and Nevis, because I'm sure you would have known, Andrew, because you're always in St. Kitts and Nevis.
Yes.
You remember Bobsy Alley?
Yes.
Bobsy also passed too.
Oh, wait. Oh, my golly. Oh.
Yeah. So
sad. Again,
and there was also families as well too. The Lambs and the Harleys and the Skerrits. So it's a tough time for St. Kitts and Nevis. So I just wanted to just clear that and get that out of the way to your program.
No problem at all.
Mm-hmm. All right. In terms of Mikel Louis, you would know Andrew is somebody that, just like Jeremiah Louis, I would have seen at an early age at the 13 and under level, the St. Kitts and Nevis 13 and under tournament. And that seems like a long time ago, really. So the mindset of a Louis coming to now and the maturity. Had a stint in England last year, so I think that tremendously would have also helped him with his cricket, because you have to take into consideration, it's not everybody sometimes have the right people around you that can be able to prepare you for the next level. This young man was included in the Leeward Islands Hurricane squad last year for the first 3 games. Got kicked out, never played, but he went back. And he had some motivation coaches behind him. He had people like Winston Benjamin, who had always spotted Mikel Louis. Even when he was the head coach of the Leeward Islands Hurricanes, that would have transferred over to somebody like Wilden Cornwall, who was the assistant, and Stroke Williams, as Fuller Wallace said, who was one of the leading batsmen. But the parental support of the Louis brothers, Jeremiah, Mikael, Jerkson. It's been tremendous. And the family has gone through a whole lot, regardless of whatever you would say. The father has been very vocal. He's stood his ground. He's defended his children. And the fruits are bearing labor today, really. You know what I mean? They're delivering in a grand style. So Louis' performance is really not surprising because he's always had that in him, really. Well, what I think has actually automatically happened is that he surprised a lot of people. But he always had batting ability. He was a no-nonsense guy who would come as he heard him said, and he would hit the ball because he played a lot in the Cool and Smooth T20 tournament for All Saints in Antigua and Barbuda under Winston Benjamin as well as the coach. So he's had some exposure in Antigua, outside of not much cricket taking place in St. Kitts and Nevis, to be able to develop his skills. I think it's all come down to his thought process and the mindfulness of him as a player. Being able to have all of this footage in front of him, being able to have all of the resourceful people around him to be able to guide him and to go back and work on your game. And I think the sky is the limit for the young man. And I just want to just wish him all the best. I don't want to worry about whether he's going to go to England. I'm just wondering that when he gets to England, the opportunity of him playing in the first test, you know, him preparing himself now for playing in the first test for the West Indies. That is supposed to be his mindset right now, preparing himself, getting a break, and going back and working on himself. It was nice to hear Imla talk about his solid defense. And you haven't seen the best of him yet, Anjo, because when he gets into a T20 mood, he's dangerous.
Oh, really?
If you think Kadeem Aline is dangerous, wait until when you see Louis in a T20 mood.
Oh, okay. The other thing about him is that he looks fit. Huh? You know, I'm big on fitness. He looks fit, and I like to see my West Indies cricketers looking fit, and he looks like a pretty fit man. We're not going to keep him too much longer. How are your horses? Any final questions for Mikael before he goes? Mikael, no doubt you're looking forward maybe to...
Well,
Mikael?
I just wanted Andrew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, okay. But he has to go pretty soon, Vernon, so... Are there any final? You have a question for him or something, Vernon, or comment?
No, I just wanted to, and I don't think it is. We have talked about it enough, really, because Jeremiah Louis has been the leading fast bowler coming out of this competition, which is his brother. Louis has been playing in this professional setup for a period of time now, for hours. So I wanted to ask Mikael what the competition was like, and when I say competition. What was the rivalry like between both of them, especially when you're up and when you're down? What was that momentum like?
Good question.
Well, leading up to the tournament, yeah, that's a really good question as well. Mm. Leading up to the tournament, I felt like him bowling to me in the nets really prepared me for the tournament, you know, because I genuinely feel like he's the best swing bowler in the Caribbean. So him bowling to me in the nets on a daily basis really helped me understand how to play the swinging ball.
And he, I say no more, Andrew.
And he really does a lot with the ball. I mean, I saw him in Barbados, and I think he'll actually do well in England. I mean, I like him, and I'm sure that Jonathan Carter will remember him getting struck. Looked to be pretty good, and he survived that, but he certainly bowled well, and he's had tremendous success against Barbados. But Mikael, in terms of the family structure. Your father, your mother, what kind of support do they give you in terms of, you know, your cricket?
Well, the support is limitless for my family. During the tournament, my mom and my dad, we would speak on a daily basis for 1 to 3 hours. It was limitless.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're pretty close to your brother, I would imagine, as well?
Yeah, we're really close. We're inseparable.
Okay. Oh.
We're always close and... he instilled that in us.
Say that again.
We're inseparable.
Oh my golly. That's going to make primetime sports tomorrow. I mean, it's really good. I met your father, as I said, you know, I'll never forget it. You know, going to your house actually and having a good Dominican dinner. Certainly some wonderful food there. And I was very, very happy to have actually met you and your brother. No, your ambitions. No doubt looking forward to playing for the West Indies, young Louis, aren't you?
It's every West Indian's dream to play for the West Indies.
Mm, so the answer is yes.
Yeah, it's an of course.
Okay. Now, just before you go, Philo or Dr. Ford or George, anything to say to young Louis before he goes? Anything to say to him?
I just want to say to Mikhail is that when he gets selected for West Indies team to England, the English have now started back using the juke ball.
Right.
And it's about coming here and really understanding the conditions. The English are going to come hard at West Indies.
Mm-hmm.
I told an Englishman I would like him to play basketball, but you have identified your strengths. I hope that you stick to your strengths when you come here and show the mental and the mental toughness and the fortitude that is required to play long innings in 4-day and 5-day cricket.
Mm-hmm.
Don't rest on your laurels.
Mm-hmm.
You said you're taking a little break. Take the break that is well deserved, but you have to get back and work hard at your game in those nets.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you get to England, you got to hit the ground running.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to wish you all the very best and make your career successful. As Vernon said, the sky is the limit, but some people go to Mars.
Well said, Philo.
Keep moving up.
Well said. George, any...
Well said, Philo. Thanks a lot.
Just before you go, George, I'm sure would want to congratulate him. George Ferris, a former Leewards man.
Hey, good evening. Good evening, Andrew. Good evening to your panel. Hey, congratulations, Mikhail. I've heard a lot about you even before you start playing for the Leeward Islands. Winston, Benjamin, and I, we spoke about you and your brother. So I'm wishing you tremendous success on your tour to England. Hear what I said? On your tour to England. You're going to play the first test. And I'm so glad. I'm rejoicing in advance for the people of St. Kitts and Nevis because they've had several players like Livingston Lawrence, Noel Guichard, Victor Eddy, who were good enough to play for the West Indies but never got the chance. And I think, Mikhail, you're going to grab this opportunity, make the people of St. Kitts, make the people of the Caribbean very proud. Go, you know, remain focused, stay positive, all right? Continue to practice. Listen to what Philo told you. Philo gave you some great words of advice. You know, you're a good lever of the ball. I've been watching you playing in the tournament. Continue to do that. Keep fit, stay positive, practice hard, and you will do well. All right? I wish you success, young man.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks a lot, George. I appreciate that.
Right.
You're welcome.
And
you can rest assured that I will be working three times as hard now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you should. And you seem to place a lot of emphasis on fitness. You look pretty fit. How important is fitness as far as you're concerned?
Well, the mentality growing up in my family is that you cannot be an athlete if you're not fit. And my dad really instilled that in us. So, you know, growing up, we always had the mentality. So we really emphasize a lot of work into the fitness.
I see. Well, thanks very much indeed. And it's a pleasure to have you on Mason and Guest. Enjoy the rest of your evening. And by the way, you're in my 15-man squad to England. In fact, the first name I've got down here.
Thanks a lot, Mr. Mason.
All right. All the best.
It was a pleasure to be here.
Okay, good. Indeed. Yes. Thank you very much indeed. All right. Well, another gentleman who could very well be going to England is Kevin Sinclair. Hello, Kevin. How are you? Your smile is as broad as Barbados, really, with that success. You won again. Barbados up against the Academy. They lost the match and as a result, you were able to come through and win. You must be quite a happy man, Kevin Sinclair, with that success.
Thanks for having me once again. Good evening, everyone. Yeah, man, I think having to done that, you know, win the championship, and it's back-to-back for us, so I think the victory was certainly sweet, and I think all the guys enjoy it, especially... You know, as a young group and a young bunch of guys, so to speak, you know, everyone, you know, was backing us and supporting us back home because they know we was young and inexperienced, and to pull it off, you know, sends that positive message that there is a lot, you know, the Guyana Happy Eagles can do and obtain as a team and as a group.
Right. Well, I know I'm going to get Vernon Springer, of course, to continue his analysis of the entire tournament. But just before we go back to him. You know, talk about some of the players and the moments that made the Harp Eagles win the championship, Kevin.
obviously, we started off bad, you know, against Trinidad. We didn't get to play, loss against Leeward. That particular game against the Academy, I think that set the tone for us. You know what I mean? Getting that win, and we hit the ground running from since then. Even when the captain, you know, Imlach came back and Moti came back to the group, I think that those two players were key players for us. Mm. I mean, from then, we see the changes in the team, we see the mode in the team, and we regroup and we come harder. And as you know, we get 5 wins after then. So
yes.
For me, I think in Antigua, the game against the Academy, that was the game that we hit the ground running and looked to push to get back into the tournament. And obviously, we crowned champion. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I see. Dr. Ford, Philo, and anything for Kevin?
Kevin, you know, you can't help, but it's a revelation for me how your batting has really come on, because I wasn't aware that you were such a good batsman. So at this juncture of your career, what do you see yourself? How do you see yourself as a player? Do you see yourself as a batsman first or as a bowler first?
Interesting question.
I should say, it's an interesting question, so to speak, but for me, I always want to be that genuine all-rounder. I started off as a batting all-rounder, but then again, my bowling, you know, was the center stage. I make West Indies team as a bowler, basically. But everyone in the Caribbean know my batting ability and know what I can do with the bat. So it didn't, you know, show up in the past years that gone that, you know, these guys are capable batter yet at regional cricket. And now my batting has been coming on, you know, because for me, it's the experience that I got, you know, playing international and regional. So I think it's the experience that I got, you know, locally and internationally, you know, helped me in my career. And like I always mention and tell people, you know, the tour to Australia really helped me greatly, you know what I mean? So I can't really, you know, mention anything other than, you know, hey, my batting is there, and I really want to continue in that reigning form that I'm in.
Yeah, I know Tony Gray was the first person that mentioned, that thought of you as a batsman, a top 6 batsman. And, you know, you had that really good game in Australia, and now you've continued here. So would you be opposed to just being chosen as a top 6 batsman for the West Indies going forward, that bowls a little bit, something like a Carl Hooper?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, the opportunity is there. And for me, I just want to put in the work so they can earn it. And whenever I earn it, you know, I remain, you know, in that particular position. I just don't want to say, hey, I'm going to just go and I'll be the number 6. I just want to put in the work, be consistent at my game, and keep scoring runs and getting wickets. That's my main aim, and I think, you know, the reward is going to be there in the end.
Philo, anything for Kevin?
Philo.
Yeah, just want to say good evening to Kevin and congratulations. Obviously, yet another awarded title to the Ghana Harpy Eagles. Obviously, you've made a contribution. But you made a key, you said a key word, consistency. I know a lot of people give you flack because you don't get a lot of wickets for your off breaks. And I believe the professional that you are, mm-hmm. and the student of the game, that you will be working very hard in this down period before you get up to England on your bowling. Now, I want to know the consistency of your batting. What is the revelation there? And how can you transfer some of that consistency of your batting into your bowling? Which would, if you're at 50%, 80%, it could take you to 100%. Carl Hooper, I'm a big fan of Carl Hooper, but he became a very effective off-break bowler for us, even in white ball cricket. How do you see yourself getting to that level?
Thanks, Mr. Wallace. For me, it's all about balancing it out. Yes, my batting, you know, peaking at the moment. I'm a bowling not so great. When I say not so great, you know what I mean? A lot of 5 wicket all. But for me, I think my run game is there, no doubt. For me, it's all about getting that balance and getting a balance consistently going, moving forward. Whether it's with ball, whether it's with bat. Scoring runs, taking wicket. That's it, basically, for me. And it started in nets. You know what I mean? Continue to put in that work. It might not show up right now, like, for me, oh, he's looking like he's not bowling. He's looking like he's batting more, but it's not like that. For me, some days, I mean, you're not going to get the wicket. Some days, you're going to get the runs. But for me, I just want to remain consistent and trust my game. I've been putting in the work over the years, in and out. So it's not like I'm not working on my bowling and just my batting. I think my all-round game, I have been focusing and placing emphasis on it as I move forward.
Mm-hmm. I see. George?
Hey, good evening. Congratulations, Kevin. I just wanted to let you know that I may be your biggest fan apart from your mom and dad. I've got a lot of flack for pushing for you even before you got into the West Indies team. So keep up the good work. I like your positivity. I like the energy that you bring to the team. I like the way that you really carry yourself on the field. So keep being positive. Keep working hard. Don't just settle for mediocrity. Just go forward and go and reach to the top. You want to be one of the top all-rounders in the world. And I know that you have the ability to do so. Just get with the right people. I don't know if you have any off-spinners that you're working with. I don't know if you've worked with any of the top off-spinners or former off-spinners in the game. Maybe you can, you know, talk with them and they can give you a few tips here and there on how you can improve your game, how you can, you know, add more variety to your bowling. In terms of your batting, you're looking compact. I like the way you bat. A lot of confidence. And you play pretty straight. Keep up the great work. Don't fall back. Don't get into any lazy type of attitude. Don't think you've reached to the top and that's it. You got to fight hard when you're at the top. All right? Tremendous success to you in England. You and my team as well. Oh, all right?
Hey!
Thank you. Fingers crossed on selection. Fingers crossed.
Well, we want to thank you for coming and talking to some Mason and guests. And enjoy, of course, the win and the $250,000 as well. That's a lot of money, Kevin.
Yes, thanks on the congratulatory message. Yeah, it's a lot of money, but that is not in my hands right now. So I must see. It's a thing, you know. We work hard. I must say, you know, I mean, before I leave, you know, I mean, we work hard and we really pull ourselves as a young team.
Right.
Even under the leadership of young Tevin, you know what I mean, how he handled his stuff. I think he, on and off the field, you know, he was good.
Right.
The leadership was good, has a good leadership quality. And even Virasami Pomal as well, the way he helped out in the field as a senior guy in the setup, he really helped as well. You know, so it was an overall team effort and everyone worked together. Kudos to the management group. Ryan Oracles, you know what I mean? He worked hard with us, really hard, you know what I mean? Keeping us positive on and off the field, you know what I mean? When it's practice, he really go the extra mile. Even Coach Ned, you know what I mean? If you want balls, extra balls to be thrown at you, they're ready, you know what I mean? So it was a total combined team effort and from the management that, you know, that they keep us going, you know, and ready for when game comes. So hats off to the management staff and even the captain. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tevin.
I see. All right, and so what are you going to be doing now? I mean, you're back home. You much needed rest. What's next for you?
Like Tevin mentioned earlier, we have this T10 going around. Mm. But for me, I just want to look to put in some red ball work as white ball as well.
Right.
As some white ball as well. But I really was looking forward talking to my agent to get some, you know, red ball game in England, you know, just to, you know, try and get something going in those conditions. So hopefully I get to go over to England and play some club games or something like that, you know, just to keep myself going. One. Which I think I will get through in playing and stuff, but I really talking to my agent hard to go over and get some club games.
And what time?
You know, in the period before.
And what time are you looking at going to England if your agent is successful?
anytime soon, you know what I mean? Okay, just good. Talk to the guy on the cricket board, you know. I mean, with the NOC stuff, you know, you got to get permission to go and stuff. So I think the board won't be, you know, won't be hard on us, you know, in terms of going and developing a game. So, yeah, because a lot of rain in the air right now in Guyana. So it's all about getting the work in at the end of the day.
Yes, lots of rain.
So that's my aim, you know, talking to the weekend to go and get some work in.
Wonderful.
In those conditions.
Lots of rain in Guyana, lots of money, lots of oil. Well, I want to thank you very much indeed. You know, Ghana's economy grew by 33%. This is absolutely amazing. And, you know, it's really good to know that Ghana has played well. You've worked very hard and you richly deserve to win the championship. Congratulations to you, Kevin Sinclair. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
All right, good. Let's pause for business calls. When we come back, 441790. Mason and Guest brought in association with the good friends at ASAP Work Rum, the best show of the day.
ASAP White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Well, of course, in terms of local stuff, we got the Keith Boyce finals on coming up this weekend. And we're certainly looking forward to that in terms of local cricket. We note that we're at the stage of the semi-finals of the competition. We hope to hear from Wendell Coppin a little bit later on. Just spoke to him, so we're hoping that he will come through pretty soon as well. And it's really good to know that we've got local cricket on in Barbados. Now, also, there's a young man who actually made 400 not out. Can you believe that? In a local game in Guyana, he is going to be with us pretty soon to discuss that. But just before we bring him on to the show, I want to go back to you, Vernon Springer. You were doing an assessment, and I just want to zero in on one game. The game Barbados up against the Academy. Now, for local listeners here, of course, it's a regional show, but of course, it originates here in Barbados. And I'm sure people will be quite keen to hear from you. Where did Barbados go wrong, in your view, in a game that had their one that had won the championship? Let me hear from you, Vernon. You're muted, Vernon. We want to hear you. We want to hear you, Vernon. Turn it on.
I was just saying, just before I comment on that game, I just really want to just thank the 143 players who played in this year's four-day championship. You had 8 teams. In the end, you had one champion, the Ghana Happy Eagles, and credit really must go to them. But there were 27 centuries and 73 half centuries. And out of that, just one concern, and I'm saying that West Indies cricket belongs to all of us. And so sometimes I get the impression that we don't really pay attention to a lot of details that is moving around. There's a young man, Andrew, by the name of Nathan Edwards, left-arm young fast bowler from St. Martin, who went to the World Cup with the West Indies under 19. He was our leading fast bowler, and he batted very well during the tournament. He's come back to the Caribbean, Andrew. Mm-hmm. 143 players have played in the four-day championship. And this young man has not played one game.
Wow.
This can't be good for West Indies cricket. Let me repeat again. This cannot be good for West Indies cricket. So if he doesn't get into a Leeward Islands Hurricane setup, are you telling me that there was no space available for him in the academy? Are you telling me that there was no space available for him in the combined campuses and colleges? And I raise this, Andrew, because there are a lot of double standards that are going on, and we really have to fix these, because West Indies cricket belongs to all of us. So if we are in charge of West Indies cricket and we have park development coaches and scouts and all those people, this is a man that performed on the world stage. So you have to look around and realize, well, Andrew Mason is not playing for the Liverland Hurricane. How can I get him sorted out? Because Roshan Primus was playing for the Barbados Pride. But he then went on to play for the Combined Campuses and Colleges team in the same tournament, in the same year.
Mm.
So are you telling me that the same could not have been afforded for a young man, 18 years old, Nathan Edwards? And I want to make that point, Andrew, before I get into what you asked me about in terms of the game. First of all, Andrew, West Indies captain, right? West Indies, the captain of the West Indies team is almost like the Prime Minister of Barbados. It's a very powerful position. And I say that with no water in my mouth. I don't know if sometimes when you look around, you have to understand how powerful this individual can be, because it's either a make or a break. He determines when he sets to the selection panel in terms of what's going to be happening. He also determines what is going to happen even when he comes back to play for whichever respective territory he may be playing for. And the tactics that I saw from the Barbados captain Craig Brathwaite, I don't know if those tactics were discussed in the back room. And if they were, then there needs to be a post-mortem, Andrew, in terms of that game against the academy. Barbados batted poorly, so they already were behind the eight ball. And if you're coming into a championship game, one has to just understand how big a miss it was for Ruston Chase not to have been playing that championship game. I don't know the reason, Andrew, but that certainly was a huge miss in Ruston Chase not playing that game. And if you follow by the performance, what have happened before when they played against the Leeward Islands, Ruston Chase made a huge contribution in that competition. Saying that, you can also look at the form of the West Indies captain. And even though Craig Brathwaite scored 565 runs in this tournament, playing for the West Indies, he has been short on form and maybe could have scored even more runs. And I'll say this to you, Andrew. I was looking at him batting even in that game against a Bishop and a Ned. And the skipper sort of kind of cramped himself, where he just didn't free up himself. I know he's got his style. That is what has got him to where he is today. But sometimes, Andrew, when you come back to this level, you have to teach people a lesson. You have to come back and you have to let them know, I'm the West Indies captain. And so when you come and you bowl me nonsense, I'm going to hit it away. You know what I mean? And I thought even the way he got out in the second innings, it was more or less out of frustration. And I couldn't understand the tactics. I was on commentary along with Mally, and Joel Manning, and I couldn't understand the tactics, Andrew, even in the afternoon's approach in terms of how they were approaching. And I don't want to say that the academy didn't bowl well, but I just think that Barbados just didn't bat well. Barbados' thought process of going into the championship game sort of like just threw me. First of all, Andrew, and I'm just saying this to you, if I was Craig Brathwaite, I would have bowled against that academy team on that morning. It was overcast, Andrew. They played four numbers. I would have gone hard at the academy early. Bat once, get the academy out for a cheap score, and bat, and set yourself up for the game. But again, we have a lot of things these days, and you're talking about matchups, and you know we're going to go about this, and so we don't want to bat last on the wicket, and all those things would have come into interference before. It was a different track, Andrew, and you realize even up until day four, it was still a solid batting wicket.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that the thought process of the Barbados team, and by the way, before I go, Andrew, because I have to ask you and Dr. Ford, because Phil Wallace is not in Barbados. There has to be a situation where we have to start looking at Barbados cricket. I saw a young man bat at number three for Barbados. Barbados has always produced lovely batsmen batting at number three. I say that because somewhere along the line, I still feel, and you'll have to tell me, Andrew, are there better players in Barbados that you feel that could have made this Barbados team?
That's an interesting one. I'll have to think about that. Well, in terms of
bats, no, look at the context of the team. Look at the context of the team.
Can I have a say?
Shaheen Brathwaite batted at number three.
Yes. Is there anyone else or any other cricketers that could have made that side? Well, that's an interesting question. But I understand the point you're making. Philo, I know you're not in Barbados.
Andrew, can I come?
Yes.
Hi, it's Philip Spooner here. How are you?
Oh, hi, Philip. Yes.
To answer Vernon's question, maybe there are, but they're giving an opportunity to a young man to develop. The Leewards gave an opportunity to Mikel Louis, and he showed his worth. And sometimes people develop at different levels and stuff, and you just got to be patient. There was a bit of criticism of Craig Braffitt there for how he played, but he ended up being the second leading scorer in the tournament at a strike rate just a little lower than Louis. So Craig was within 10 runs of equaling Louis' feat of 3 centuries. So, I mean, if you're going to be critical of Craig to that extent and be so highly praising of Louis, and there's a sort of symmetry between the two. Craig is obviously more experienced, having played 80 test matches, but don't go too hard on it there because, it's cricket. It's a game of glorious uncertainties and things happen. Nobody called for post-mortem after Brisbane when Craig led the team so well. Now we're calling for post-mortem after the tournament, and we're going hard in a situation like that. So I think we should rein ourselves back a little bit there and take it for what it is. In addition to that, everybody's picking Louis to go to England because he made the most runs. Is anybody going to pick Joshua Bishop? He took the most wickets. And Warwick Hunt took the second most. So it's a discussion. You know, that's an interesting one. And same, Jayne Groove made 100 runs at an average of 100.
Right.
With a double century. We have batsmen who can bat deep, bat long, and bat true. And here's a guy who, made 100 runs in 6 matches, averaging 100. Nobody's called his name. You know, so we got to examine the thing holistically rather than just, in direct isolation for, and I'm a big fan of Louis too. I've seen him in the under-19 development program before, and he always looked a good player. But let's look at it a bit more holistically and not zero in specifically on every small that we want to get after, you know? So, and the question I've got there is, are you going to pick Bishop? He took the most wickets.
Philip.
Vernon, your response. Vernon, your response.
No, it's not a matter of a response. Everybody is entitled to their opinion. And that's Philip Spooner's opinion. The jury is out. That's all we're saying. Right? The jury is out. Let me explain this, right? Shamar Joseph is who won the test match for the West Indies in Australia. Shamar Joseph. That wasn't a planned thing where we
Vernon, there was a partnership.
Allow me to speak with him. Spoons, allow me to speak. You spoke. You spoke, and I respect you.
Yes.
I respect you. You have your view. I'm just saying to you, and all of us don't have to think the same way. You made your point, I'm making my point.
Yes.
I am saying Shamar Joseph won that test match for us for the West Indies. He was the guy who took the team on his back and says, I am going to win this. It was a total team effort. There were new guys that came into the team because you had some pundits around the Caribbean, including former players, who decided that that was the worst team ever to leave the Caribbean to go to Australia. Former West Indian players who played for the West Indies who were considered to be mentors for some of these guys. And Joseph came up and said, I'm going to win this game for the West Indies. Right? So, me being critical of Craig Braffitt, I'm just saying that the Craig Braffitt that we expect who have played 80 test matches has to continue to be able to not get out the way in terms of how we're getting out, and he has to develop his own game. And I don't think you can say that I'm critical of Craig. I want him to be better. My job as a broadcaster is to make sure that I can highlight where I feel that he can get better. And he knows that he has to get better.
But let's highlight things holistically. And well, Joseph was the hero of the match. Saying that he won the match is well, people will say that. But remember, there was a partnership of 150 between the keeper and Hodge that shaped the game for the West Indies and gave Joseph something to bowl at. So we got to look at things more holistically than that, in my view. And as I will say again, Craig came within 10 runs. He made 90 in the innings there. He came within 10 runs to get in 3 centuries this season. One batsman got 3 centuries. and that was Louis. So, and Craig got 2 centuries and a 90. He was the second leading batsman. Craig averaged 47, Louis averaged 48. Craig's strike rate was 45, Louis' strike rate was 49. So there's a certain symmetry. And Louis himself said, leaving more balls is what led him to be a better player this year. Craig is patient and he's known for leaving balls. So while you're going at Craig really hard there, and we all want all our players to be better, look at it a bit more holistically.
Mm. You're talking about the same word holistically. You want people to talk your tune. I don't need to talk your tune. But that's what you want me to do. I don't need to talk like how you talking. I got my view, you got your view.
The question that I also want to put to the panel is the bowling. We haven't discussed the bowling yet, or who's going to go to England.
Mm.
But Bishop, as I said, took the wickets. Bishop was leading wicket taker, followed by Warwick Khan. So let's see, panel, who we're going to go with from a bowling point of view, and if we're going to go with Bishop, the same way we're going to go with Louis.
Mm. George?
That's apples and oranges there. Mr. Spooner, that's apples and oranges there. Who is Bishop is going to play before? Would you pick Bishop before Moti?
I don't pick teams. I support teams.
Okay.
But you want us
to discuss the bowling, I'm asking you. Who would you put Bishop ahead of in the squad?
I never said I would put Bishop ahead of anyone. I said he was a leading wicket taker. Would you pick Bishop?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, Moti.
Fine.
Well, we need good openers if you're going to talk about the openers. And Mikel has proven himself to be that type of batsman who can stick around, who can get runs, who can, put a good innings on the board. Why are you going to deny him a place?
I never said
what Vernon was saying about Craig is absolutely right.
Deny him a place.
Craig has been around for how long now? And we're expecting better from him, right?
So you would have expected Craig to make more centuries and more runs?
Of course.
Okay, that's
when you're such a top class, when you're playing for so long, when you meet bowling like they met in this tournament, you should be dominating. A guy like Craig should have been more dominant in our regional tournament.
But he made 2 centuries and a 90 in the average for...
Still not good enough for me.
Okay, fair enough.
That's my opinion.
So you'd pick Jangle, would you? Because he made 500 runs at an average of 100 with a double century.
Who Jangle made the runs against? The type of bowling. I've been watching these games, and I watch a different type of attack that these guys are facing. All right? So I'm not taking anything from Jangle. Did well and everything. But I think Louis is much better. He's a better player than him.
And that's fair. And your point is solid, but I also want to ask about the bowling.
Yeah, we're supposed to discuss that later on. I think Andrew is going to bring that on when we talk about the teams.
Mm.
We're supposed to be selecting the T20 and the test squad.
In fact, George, while you're at it, can you give us your team for the World Cup? The World Cup 15-man squad, you have it there?
Yes. Okay. I didn't have much changes to do from the last series they had in Australia. This is my team. Mm. Rovman Powell, Johnson Charles, Roston Chase, Akil Hussain, Alzari Joseph, Brandon King, Nicholas Perran, Andrew Russell, Trafane Rutherford, Shepherd, Hope, Shamar Joseph, Jason Holder, Moti, and Mayers.
And Kyle Mayers. And what about your team to England? Do you have that?
Yes.
Mm. That should be interesting.
Yes, sir, yes, yes. I've got a team to England. I've got some surprises here.
Okay.
And I went back on one of my players.
Mm.
All right, my team. Brathwaite, Alzari Joseph, Shamar Joseph, Da Silva, Jason Holder, Moti, McKenzie, Chanderpaul, Hodge, Mikel Louis, Casey Carty, Imlap, OJ Seals, Sinclair, and Jaden Seals. Roach is in England, so if anything, we can call on him. I've been following him, and he seems like he can't touch a pad so far in the series.
Roach is not in your 15-man squad?
No, he's not in my 15-man squad, judging from what I'm reading about and seeing in the county championship. They said there's some good pitches, plus they're using the Kookaburra ball. I don't know if that make a difference.
Did you call Jason Holder in your side?
Yes, Jason Holder is in my side.
Jason Holder, but no Roach.
No Roach. And I go for Shields. OJ Shields is the quickest bowler we got in the region, to me.
Ooh.
With especially with the older ball.
Yes.
And he can bowl for long periods. All right? My friend Basil Butcher Jr. told me to, you know, check this guy out. And I've watched him for several games. You know, you can watch a guy for one game and they look sharp. But I watched him for about three games. And he was sharp in every game. Right? And we need pace in England, because you can't go to England and be depending on medium paces. That's bread and butter for these guys. That's what they face every day. Medium guys, medium paces, swinging the ball. And when it comes to pace, that will make the Englishman make mistakes. All right? And that's why I would go for Shields, because let's suppose Alzari or Shamar is not on song or injured. Who are we going to call on? Another medium pacer to replace them? We need pace. We need at least three quick bowlers to put the Englishmen on their back foot.
And a note of interest that you have Chanderpaul, Brathwaite, and Louis as your openers.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Louis and the captain is going to open the batting.
Yes.
Chanderpaul is going to be the under two. I'll give him a chance.
And what about
just for now?
And what about Athanase?
Athanase, no. I like Athanase very much. But he's been a bit static at the crease. And to me, he needs to get more life in his movement of the crease. You know, his trigger movement is a bit dead. Also, England is not the place for you to be having your feet together. You got to be able to get that left front foot going and learn to leave the ball. If you notice, he gets out a lot in the slips area because he's playing at balls that he shouldn't be playing at. I love him. I want him to go back and, you know, work in the nets and get some runs under his belt, get some confidence. I don't think he's confident right now. That's just me, you know. So,
Philip, interesting comments coming through. Let me come to you, Philo. Yeah. Your reaction to what George said. Interesting. He has Chanderpaul in the
George side. Said a lot, Andrew. He has his opinions and his feelings on what he saw during the tournament. The thing is, George, is that there was the ACB used the trial of the first two county games with the Kookaburra ball, and the county started to complain because they couldn't get any wickets. The bowlers were struggling, and they've decided to go back now to the Duke ball. And obviously some results have happened. The thing about Roach, George, is that, yes, we know Roach is a senior fast bowler, and he warms to the more cricket he plays, the better he gets. I would expect Roach to kick into gear from this game, this next county championship game. He looked pretty decent in the last one. He got a wicket, I think. He looked pretty decent. You see, he's not been bowling a whole heap of overs as well, so they're managing him. I went down to Sussex. I went down to Hove at the weekend, and Jaden Seals played down there. He plays for Sussex. I had a chat with Mark Allen, who we had on this program, and I hope that Andrew gets him back on this program because I had a discussion with him, and he loves what he saw in Jaden Seal. He said he likes the way he groups his balls, and he knows what he's bowling, sets the batsman up. And if you watch a lot of clips from Sussex, you can see that this boy is enjoying his cricket. He has a good coach in Fabrice down there. And I saw my friend Grant Flowers, the batting coach. He has good people around him at that county. And I think that when you look at Jaden Seal, he is back where we expect him to be. So with him bowling the way he's bowling, my concern is obviously Alzari. But with Jaden Seal's bowling superbly well here in England so far, I think that he is going to do wonders for West Indies as well in England, and it's going to be a concern to the English batters how this young man is bowling. But the squad for England, Andrew, they only have two selectors, and it is going to be a headache. With the amount of talent and performances that are coming through, and solid performances, it is a headache for the selectors because we want to give those guys who went to Australia another chance. But you're giving guys who went to Australia another chance, some of them didn't even score 50.
That's true.
We got guys who have scored runs. And my biggest fear, you don't want a form cricketers to come up here. You want cricketers who are in form. I'm happy to hear that Kevin St. Clair is looking to come up here and play some club cricket, if possible. to get into the groove of things. Because it's important that you get here and try to feel your way in the English conditions. It's going to be difficult for some of them, Andrew, because when you have on a sweater, a sleeveless sweater, and a long sleeve shirt, and two pants, George will tell you, the boots are heavy, the clothes are heavy, you perspire and you don't feel hot. So all these are different things that you have to take into consideration with our young men who've never been to this country. So it's a little challenge. So the selectors have a little challenge on their hands, and the only two of them are head coach and the lead selector. And the lead selector has to play a big role in selecting that squad to come to England because he has the experience of playing at Middlesex. And the first test match is at Lords. With a pitch is a slope. All these are the concoctions that comes into play when you're touring. So the lead selector really has to sit down and he has to be very, very descriptive on what he wants that squad to be like. I know the coach is the man who's going to take it over. But the lead selector has to be an integral part of selecting that squad. They only bring in 15, which is a shame because I think it's a tour that you can bring 17. They got 12 million in reserve, so they can bring 17 if they want to bring 17.
Yep.
But it is going to be a ticklish situation and with that squad coming up here to England. And it's a big series.
Big series.
West Indies England is not a joke series. It is a serious cricket series.
Defending the Richards Botham Trophy.
I told a guy at Sussex, I want England to play basketball. Because if they play basketball, and we get them 70-8, we can beat them.
Hopefully.
If you look at stats for the batsmen who went to Australia.
You know, hopefully. And there's a serious thing. This is a very serious tour. West Indies have just selected Alec Antunes to go to Nepal to play T20 cricket.
Yeah.
And he was the guy that we were hoping. He would be the middle order glue. And now you're taking him to Nepal to play T20 with his white ball. So, and we have not heard a lot of discussion about that 18 squad either. You know, so these are very cloudy areas within our cricket selection. Andrew is not talking pretty and selecting people. You know, you've got to be critiquing what you're doing. You've got to look at the bigger picture. The bigger picture for me is the England series. It's massive. If you can beat England in England, it's going to give us a good impetus for South Africa, and then maybe go other places. We need to be careful. Selection panel need to be very, very strategic. I hold it, select my squad to come up here.
If you look at the guys that went to Australia, Hodge scored 334 runs with a best of 158, averaging 37. Athanase scored 304 with a best of 89, averaging 33. Mackenzie Kerr, 323 with a best of 57, averaging 24. And the keeper, he was very good for Trinidad. De Silva, as a keeper with the pressure of keeping wicket for 100 overs and then batting, he made 322 runs in 5 matches, best of 106. He averaged 46. So these are the batsmen that we played in Australia who came back in the regional tournament. Then, as I said before, St. Clair made 508 runs with a best of 165. Not he averaged 63.50. Casey Carty, of the guys who have not yet played Test cricket, Casey Carty, 496 runs with a best of 127, 1 century and 5 half-centuries. Imlach, 485 at 53.8, 2 centuries. Kevin Wickham, 449 with a best of 139, 1 century and 2 half-centuries. Bowen Tuckett, the young keeper from Nevis who played for the academy, 378 runs at 42, with a best of 76 not out. And McCaskey, he was in Australia but didn't play. 353 runs, 101 his best. He averaged 29 with a strike rate of 61, interesting enough. And he scored 1 century. And obviously, Louis was the top of the table, 682, 3 centuries, a best of 130, average of 48 with a strike rate of 49. And Craig Brathwaite, 565. With a hair score of 189, averaging 47, strike rate of 45 with 2 centuries. So those are the batsmen that are in the high pecking order. And then Graves, who played in Australia, he played 4 matches. He He made 280 runs with a best of 94 not out. He averaged 40 flat, and he made 3 half centuries.
Interesting. Okay, we're going to pause our business. Interesting, Philip. We're going to pause our business calls. When we come back, we also want to hear about a guy who's made a ton of runs in a local match in Guyana. We're going to talk to him. We also want to focus a little bit on some local cricket. We've got the Keith Boys tournament. We're going to have a quick word with Rondell Yearwood. And, of course, the semi-final stage of the local competition as well. But Mason and Guest, brought in association with the good friends at ASFE, where we're on the best show of the day.
ESA feel white rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, let's go to Guyana. A young guy, fellow, you've never made 400 not out in a match. I mean, last week we had an interesting development in terms of a young bowler bowling left hand or right hand, depending on who he was bowling to. But in Guyana, on April the 13th and the 14th, there's a guy who actually made 400 not out. And he's actually going to spend a couple of minutes with us on the show to tell us about that amazing feat. Brandon, how are you, sir?
Hi, good evening, viewers. Thank you for having me on the show. Okay. I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Okay, introduce yourself. Tell us where you're from in Guyana. Your full name, even if you have a second name.
So I'm Brandon Raj Jaikaran. 21 years old, and I play for Demerara Cricket Club, and I'm from Campbellville in Georgetown.
Good. And you made 400 not out in a game, 55 fours and 12 sixes. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. Now, was Philo Wallace bowling and Dr. Ford and George?
Not such high quality as those guys you just mentioned, but yeah, still amazing feat to score 400 in a match. And yeah, I'm just happy that I could help my team to win the game.
And you play for DCC, is it?
Yeah, correct. Demerara Cricket Club in Queenstown.
Right. So that's the club of Roger Harper.
Yeah, correct. The same club that Tevin Imlach plays for.
Okay, wonderful. And you played against who? What's the name of the team you played against?
Diplomats Cricket Club in a second division match.
Oh, also Diplomats Cricket Club.
Two-day cricket.
Maybe Diplomats for a plane. But, I mean, that's an amazing achievement. I mean, 55 fours, 12 sixes, 292 runs in boundaries.
Yeah, correct.
Mm-hmm. No.
I was just trying to play each ball on its merit. You know, I was not, before the game, I didn't mean to be ultra aggressive or anything. I was just taking it one ball at a time. You know, if the bad ball presents itself, I tried to hit it to the boundary and stuff, you know. At the end of day one, I finished on 185 not out. And I came home and my parents just told me to get a 200. So I came the next day. On the 14th of April, I believe. And I knocked some singles. I got to the 200 mark. And then my coach spoke to me and he said, I have like 90 minutes to bat. So I was just trying my best to score as much runs as possible within that time frame.
And 400 not out. Amazing.
Yeah, that was the result.
Absolutely amazing. Tell us about yourself. Are you studying or you want to make cricket a full-time thing?
Yes, I'm currently studying civil engineering at University of Guyana. I'm in third year, but cricket is my primary focus. I train majority of the time, so hopefully I can make it a career.
Okay. Did you come through the ranks? Did you get a chance to maybe possibly get into the under-19 side for Guyana? I mean, How was it? Were you close to the other side?
I was in the standby for the Guyana on the 17, but I didn't make the tour in 15. I didn't make the tour in 15. And my under 19 years, the tournament didn't play because the regional tournament did not play because of the pandemic. So I was not afforded that opportunity to play for my country.
And no doubt you're hoping to play for Guyana someday. And possibly if you continue with these runs, you may very well, you never know, go to the top.
Yeah, I think this is just the beginning, you know. I just have to keep working hard, scoring runs locally, and hopefully I can play for the senior team in the near future.
And of course, studies as well, because you said you're at the University of Guyana, and studying is important as well, youngster.
Yeah, I think it's important to balance it as well, but the primary focus is cricket, so hopefully I can make it to the senior team and then West Indies later on.
Oh my golly. Dr. Ford or Philo, any comments, any questions for young Brandon?
Sounds like Brandon went through quite a few gears during that inning. But it shows his versatility, and I don't know if his engineering studies helped him to bisect the field and to determine how quickly to send the ball to the boundary. But Brandon, I mean, there are many guys like you who are studying and doing other things, not necessarily making the national team for Guyana. How do you keep motivated in spite of your dual roles as a student and the aspiring cricketer?
I just try to take it one day at a time, stick to the process, stick to my method, keep training hard, working on my fitness. And at nights after that, I come home and do my studies. So I think it's hard balancing it, but if you put enough effort into both, you could be successful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely wonderful. Well, we want to thank you for coming and talking to us. I know your time is tight. And I had to find you when I saw that, where you actually made 400 not out. And we want to wish you well. Enjoy the rest of your evening, sir.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for having me on the show. Yeah.
Right.
Take care.
Yeah, okay. We got just another 20 minutes left on the show. Quickly, let's go to Wendell Coppin, who, of course, has got a very important job in Barbados with working with the World Cup. He's in charge of the cricket side of things. And, of course, we know that in relation to the Barbados Cricket Association, former manager of the Barbados team, but now in charge of cricket development. I mean, he's a very, very important man. I saw him very early this morning. When I actually passed this morning up by Weymouth, Wendell, I saw you there as early as 7 o'clock in the morning, and you were just directing traffic. How are things going at Weymouth in terms of preparation there, Wendell?
Good evening to you, Andrew. Good evening to your listeners, wherever you are. Good evening to your panelists, Philo and Dr. Ford. All three of the practice venues, we had in some inspections over the weekend. CWI head curator, consultant, Ken Crafton came in, specifically to give some guidance to the ground staff at all the venues in terms of the preparation process that we're looking for. So what you saw me at police this morning, the twofold. I wanted to meet with the staff there, but also to look at the work that needs to be done. And as rightly you said, some of these things you have to start very early. The preparation at police, we're coming along slowly. The severe drought conditions have not been kind to us in terms of grass growth on the outfield, but we've put in measures in place to have the outfield watered by a local company, and they will be watering the outfield for us from tomorrow. I was hoping to get it started from today, but they came back and they said that they will be doing it from tomorrow.
So Wendell, are you Is he still with us? Is Wendell still with us? Wendell?
Well, he just dropped out. Just dropped out.
Okay.
We'll try and get him back.
Yeah, please. Mm-hmm. Get him back. Quickly, what I should do to go to Vernon. Vernon, are you on target there in Antigua in terms of preparations for the World Cup? Are you on target?
Well, there's been some increasing activities happening at the Antigua Recreation Ground. Anthony Merrick is the head curator there at the Antigua Recreation Ground. So they have been putting in some work. They've also been receiving some support also from the staff at the Cedar Valley Golf Course. So work is moving apace. And we just want to be able to just wish all the countries all the best in this time. I hope we can get 5 minutes, Andrew. Each one of us can get 5 minutes before we come. There's a big conference coming up on the weekend, and I realize that we never even touched that. You know, I got a couple of things that I wanted to say because I know that they're listening.
No, that's fine. That's fine. We're going to talk about that shortly. We got, 19 minutes left in the show.
Wendell is with us again.
Pardon me? Okay. Wendell is with us. So, Wendell, Weymouth, are you suggesting that you're behind at Weymouth?
Well, we don't have the green lush conditions that we want obviously for an event like this, and therefore we have to take measures in place. Ultimately, as you know, there's a sprinkler system at UWI, there's a sprinkler system at Kensington Oval, and even at Windward there is the. Windward has water that they get from a nearby canal and reservoir that is supplied via a member of the club and so on. So at Windward, at Weymouth, we don't have that luxury, and therefore we have to do alternative things to get the feel up to the condition that we wanted for practice venue standards. Mm. So hence we are looking at having water brought in by a supplier.
Are you concerned at this stage about Weymouth?
The concern obviously would be, Andrew, that we are not lush and green, but we're putting measures in place to ensure that we are. I mean, the issue is water, and once we get a good covering of water in the outfield, and anybody that passed Weymouth mid-July, mid-August, September, November, always know that how lush that Weymouth always is. So once we can supply water, obviously that is where the concern would be, and we are trying to address that.
Okay, so when the inspection took place, what did they say to you? Were they did you get well, you know, there's green, there's orange, and of course there's red. What did you get?
Well, we're still in the amber because of the dry conditions.
Oh, amber.
We're not in the red, and we're not in the green as yet.
Mm-hmm.
But we are progressing. And the issue really is water. Is water.
And of course, you know, we're not getting water in Barbados. I mean, getting dribs and drabs, really.
Dribs and drabs, and so as a result, that's why we've gone the route of bringing water supplies in. The fire service and the Barbados Water Authority have been very helpful in terms of identifying sources where we can get the water from. So we have identified those areas. It is what we are looking at getting is not drinking water, but we're getting water from underground sources, the similar type of water that they would use when they're wetting the roads down, especially when there's road construction.
Wendell,
Wendell,
I'm hearing that you're behind.
Well, you hear a lot of things normally, Andrew, and I can't tell you what you hear and what I don't hear, but you know, the issue where your concern is you hear lots and lots of things.
Dr. Ford told me that.
Hoping,
Dr. Ford told me that here that you're behind.
I'm hoping that I won. I mean, have you heard that I've won the lottery?
No, so
that I can go out and so I can go and buy my lottery ticket.
Doc, you know? Can you come in here? I mean, are you listening closely to what Wendell is saying, our fellow?
Yeah, I am. But as far as I'd like to ask Wendell, how would the water be applied to the field? How do you ensure that it's done in an equitable way that the whole field gets wet in an equal amount?
A tanker is going to be coming in on two different days per week, starting from tomorrow. So what we'll be doing is and we'll do a process of wetting the field and then rolling so that apart from the wetting, we also want to be doing some leveling as well. So we're doing the two things simultaneously. So we'll wet one day, roll the next, and so on. So over a 5-7 day period, what we should be seeing is at least two portions of watering, or two sessions of watering, and then two sessions of rolling the outfield to ensure that we get to some level playing field, to want for a better term.
Do you need a continuous surface of grass in order to roll, or can you do rolling with some areas that are patchy?
We're not talking about the pitch. We're talking about the outfield. We're talking about the outfield. So what we're trying to do...
Yeah, I mean,
and the pitch is... Sorry, Dr. Ford.
I meant on the outfield. I know you have a grading process, and there may be something done to compact the outfield. I'm not an expert here. But, I mean, how does the grass growth affect the other things that need to be done? Is it a limiting factor of any sort?
Well, the grading took place back in February. I mean, there's months ago that the grading took place. So after the grading, ultimately what is required is water. We have graded, we seeded the outfield, but obviously because of the dry conditions and so on, we haven't had the type of rain and type of water that we expected that we would get. So therefore, the intervention really is to have a supply of water on the outfield over the next week and a half, maybe 2 weeks or so, so that we can start seeing some greenness. I mean, ultimately we've done it at Windward. When we started watering Windward a week before. And Andrew, I don't know if you've been in St. Philip and Lucas Street recently, but if you pass Windward today, you'll see that the outfield is lush and green. At Kensington Oval and at UWI, because of the sprinkler system, it is helpful because they can continuously water and so on. At Weymouth, we don't have a sprinkler system, and therefore we need some intervention as well.
I see. Well, time is tight. I know, and Lord Vernon has got one or two other things to say. But just before you go, though, your T20 tournament has reached the semi-final stage with no quarterfinals in the fixtures. But however, I note with interest that in the lower divisions, you're going to be having scheduled quarterfinal matches. Why is this so, Wendell? I mean, one would have thought that the elite in Division One will get more. Can you explain?
Well, the elite in Division One played more matches, and it's a case of if you know that in some zones, persons would have played four games. So it was a matter of a number of fixtures. What we discovered from last season that persons indicated that playing 9 and 10 games were way, way too much. Were way too much, and it was not necessary to have a competition where after round five the competition seemed watered down because from position five down wasn't playing for anything, and it was meaningless games. You just turned up and played and so on. So we listened to the clubs. In the lower leagues, you know, persons talked about, and again, similarly, but what we looked at is because that in some cases, Dons had five, in some cases had six, so they were playing four or five games. We thought that it would be necessary in order to have some balance. We went to a knockout phase first because there were some abnormalities in terms of the number of fixtures that each club would play. It wasn't an even set of games like there is in the Elite and Division One Cup competition. And therefore, we thought, because of that, we have some normalcy where after the playoff games, we went into a quarterfinals so as to give at least another round of game. So what could happen is that some teams could end up playing seven T20 matches with four preliminaries, the quarterfinals, semifinals, and the final. Mm-hmm. We are similarly in the Elite and Division One, you play eight games because you play six games in the preliminary rounds, and then a semifinal and a final, which brings you to eight. So you'll still come back to all teams, but then get an opportunity to at least play eight games.
All right, we're going to leave it there because time is very tight. But I invite you maybe to come back next week and talk to us some more, because it's interesting what you're saying. I know that there's some people are a little bit surprised that there are no quarterfinal matches being played, and yet in the lower divisions you do have quarterfinals, and that seems a bit strange. But we're going to come back to that, of course, next week when we speak to you, and hopefully next week by the time we speak to you, that it won't be on orange, but it will be on green. Wendell?
That's the reason for the watering. That's the reason for the watering at police. That we want the outfield to be green. So absolutely, Andrew.
Absolutely.
I'm always happy to speak to you, as you know.
Right.
So hopefully by the time you come back to us next week, that all of us in green. Police, the outfield is in green. And we moved off the amber, and we gone fully to green at all of our venues.
All right. Thanks very much indeed. Let's pause for business calls. We got a final commercial break. Mason and Guest, brought in association with our good friends at ASFE White Rum, the best show of the day.
ASFE White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ASFE is the best show of the day. Boy! Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, time is tight. Let's go to Philip Spooner. Philip, the World Cup trophy went well in terms of his tour. Philip?
Hi, Andy, thanks again. Before I get to World Cup trophy, I want to shout out Haley Matthews and the West Indies women's team. Really want to big up the team for that amazing performance in Pakistan. And it seemed to have gone unnoticed, but Haley's now taken 100 ODI wickets. She went past 100 today, along with making 141 career best score. So she's now the second West Indian woman to score over 2,000 runs and take 100 ODI wickets. The other one being, obviously, Stephanie Taylor, who's got over 5,000 runs and 150-plus wickets. So Haley's now joined her illustrious teammate in that regard. So that performance in Pakistan was needed. They've gained points now, and the road towards the World Cup qualification, automatic qualification, a little bit smoother. Mm-hmm. On World Cup, it was absolutely amazing. Massive congratulations to the organizers in Antigua, Barbados, and St. Lucia, where it's gone so far. And we can't wait to get to St. Vincent, Trinidad, and Guyana. Everything about it was magnificent. The ambassadors, the legends of the game, Sir Vivian Richards, Sir Richie Richardson, Sir Andy Roberts, certainly Ambrose in Antigua were magnificent. Darren Sammy was out of this world in St. Lucia, and the legends of Barbados were fantastic as well. Sir Wes was there, Sir Charles Griffith was there, Sharon Campbell, Solomon Ben, Fidel Edwards. Just a massive shout out to everyone who did such a fantastic job for the World Cup Trophy Tour. What it has taught us is that the love of cricket is still there, Andrew, across the region. Everybody, from children to old people, came up to support it. We must have had at least 20,000 people getting pictures with the trophy and interacting with the various elements that we had. Tiga was at a street party, Barbados had Oystens and Rihanna Drive, and St. Lucia had Darren Sammy in front of the Pitons, and then a massive show in View 4. And they also had one in the heart of Castries. So it was brilliant. The World Cup is with us. In case you missed it, it's coming in June from the 1st to the 29th. So join the caravan when it comes to your area. Go there, tickets.t20worldcup.com. Get involved and stay the course, because this is going to be the biggest thing the Caribbean has ever seen.
Wonderful. Got another couple of minutes left in the show. The Keith Boyce tournament starts, well, the finals will be on this weekend. In fact, it's on Heroes Day, and it would be remiss of us if we didn't talk a little bit about it. Ronald Yearwood, good evening to you, sir. You all ready for that big match come the weekend?
Aye, good night, Andrew. Good night to you, your panel, and all your listeners. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything's in place. Hoping to have a good game on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Well, tell us about the teams. Who are the teams in the finals?
Well, the two teams in the final will be last year losing finalist Jordan Supermarket Shannon.
Mm-hmm.
And Edwin Boyce 11, that is consisted of a lot of players from the basketball team that normally do so well in the local domestic competitions, and they're being captained by Fidel Edwards, actually.
Oh, Fidel Edwards. Wonderful. So you got some big names in the tournament then.
Yes, and Jair McAllister also is in that team as well, just represented Barbados. And Don Ben, very good local player for Spartan. So it's a pretty balanced team they have.
Wonderful. And it's going to be on Sunday, this coming Sunday?
Yes, Sunday, 11:30 start, 35 over competition.
And where's the venue?
Venue is Diamond Corner.
Diamond Corner. So,
yes, Boys Pavilion.
Well, I'm a St. Philip man. How do I find Diamond Corner?
If you know where Farley Hill is, when you get by the junction, instead of turning right to go to Farley Hill, you just keep straight ahead.
Right.
Drive maybe from a minute, and then there's a shop on the right. I think Bank Sellers, you just turn there, and the ground will be right ahead of you. Like, if you're on your way to St. Nicholas Abbey, actually.
Wonderful. Well, what we're going to do, next week you can come back and tell us about it, because you'd be quite keen to hear the winners of that. Thank you very much indeed for coming and talking to us.
Yes.
Okay, we got just 1 minute left in the show. Vernon Springer, forgive us, Vernon. Things are very, very tight, but you want to have a little word about a big meeting coming up this weekend?
I think next week, Andrew, we don't have enough time. I'd love to come back next week. I hope we can come back and so we can look at the way forward for the week before the competition. Because I have some concerns, especially when it comes to the pace bowling points or the fast bowling points area. Mm-hmm. That's a pet peeve for me. I think that's something we need to address next week. Who is a fast bowler?
Right. No, I agree with that. And Vernon, the invitation is open for you to come back next week and be very much with us as well. You know, time flies so quickly. But I invite you on the show next week. It'll be very interesting to have you on the show.
You need to get some more sponsors so the program could
go longer. I'll speak to Anthony Green about that. And by the way, we've got Ken in green. Thanks to you, Dr. Ford, for coming through. Thanks to you, George Ferris, who's got Louis in his side. Thanks to you, Philo Wallace. Thanks to you, Vernon Springer. And of course, we had Kevin Sinclair, Tevin Inmat, and Rondell Yearwood. And of course, our good friend Philip Spooner. I'm Andrew Mason. Here's hoping for a better tomorrow. It's good night.
Thank you very much, Andrew, for bringing us an interesting program. Very interesting program.
The big word is interesting.
Ken in green.